It is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal. Joining us hopefully now by a telephone is Cynthia Hostwinder and Janet Manco. Good morning, Cynthia and Janet.
Good morning.
Good morning.
There we go. We're all set to go. No problems this morning. All right. As we go to the front page, well, of course, it happened last week. LifeStar was called in for a Great Falls River rescue, and I'd like to quote from the Falls Village First Selectman Henry Todd, quote, "If we can't get emergency vehicles up there, then somebody is going to drown," end quote.
And so this is a multi-layered, super complex, years-long problem that's been exacerbated by the incredibly high usage of the river and the area parks and the trails since COVID started. And, of course, everybody's feeling pent up. It's been a very, very hot summer. We understand that people want to come up here. It's not just that emergency vehicles can't get down these roads, although they can't, because people, as you can see in Lance Christensen's photo, people are parking in spots where they're not supposed to park, and it's making it hard for a fire truck or an ambulance to get down those roads. There, people are kind of piled up outside these parking areas, and also hard for people themselves to get their cars in and out. But the real problem is the river is not as benign as it looks. And even right now when the water is fairly low, it's certainly much less dangerous now than it was in, say, April when it was really running fast. But things happen unexpectedly on the river. The rocks are slippery. There's lots of little whirlpools that develop in crevices that are below the rocks. And the power company does divert and then release the water at unexpected times. And I believe that's what happened last week, was there was some people that were in the water and the power company released and there was a big whoosh. I think for these young ladies that were up on the hill, it was, I don't think anybody except the rescue volunteers knows exactly what happened, but my assumption is that they were up there clambering under the rocks. It sounds like one of them slipped, one of them fell trying to get the other one out, which is how we had a drowning death here several years ago, is one person going in to save another person.
But at least the third person did the smart thing.
And called 911.
Yeah, didn't try to go in, just called 911.
Yeah.
And otherwise you would have had three people struck out there and no one would have notified 911.
Right. So. And I assume that since it's so crowded out there, somebody would have seen it. But I would say that's generally a good piece of advice, is don't jump in and try to help. If it is more dangerous than it looks, and just call 911 right away. But the problem isn't so much just the cars in the parking, although that is a huge problem. It's also that the water is much more dangerous than it looks.
Well, people are used to lakes and ponds and things, and when the Housatonic might look placid, but it's not. You've got tons and tons of water that are moving downstream, and it's anything but placid. So
people don't realize that it's hydroelectricity. People don't understand how this all works. And so it's like, oh, there's the falls. Oh, there's the calmer part of the river. If you are judging it from the surface based on not really knowing any context, you're going to potentially make decisions that you wouldn't otherwise make.
But as the paper points out, as you point out in the paper, it's not only Great Falls, it's Bulls Bridge, it's along the river where fishermen normally set up to fish and everything. I mean, it is a general problem that ranges from Bashbish Falls up into Massachusetts. And you've even got a companion story by you, Cynthia. Now state boat launches are going to be patrolled.
And I emailed the state police and I said, because I assumed that they just meant like in the big towns. And I said, do you mean, even local ones like Mohawk Pond? And they said, absolutely, every single boat launch is going to be patrolled. So they're really putting some enforcement muscle behind this. And I think that in this moment when people are a little bit unhappy with our police, that this is a moment to sort of look at what they're trying to do, which is to save people. And, of course, they have to behave in a way that's respectful to everybody. But people keep saying to me, like, well, why don't they just call the police? And the police should just stand in there and tell them to socially distance. And I was like, that's not going to work.
Yeah.
You can't have, like, 100 people sort of out partying in large groups and have a cop come by and go, like, you're going to have to socially distance. It's just not, you know, we all have to self-police. Unfortunately, most of the problems that we're having are not with local people. And, of course, we have a huge number. I'm sorry I'm to be going on and on about this, but this seems to be the big issue in the area. We have so many people hiking on the trails right now, too, and that's also a huge parking problem. But it's not as much of a problem as the water because people who hike tend to be a little bit more knowledgeable about the hiking process, and they tend to be a little bit more aware of if you bring trash in, you have to take it out. Having said that, I would say every couple of years we do have to have a major rescue on one of the trails because people either go out, they either go off the trail or they go at a time of day that's dangerous and it gets dark. We've also had drownings in the local lakes. So I think people really need to remember all these things are recreational, but they're also dangerous.
Yeah. And Patrick Sullivan has his column that he passes along information that he sees when he's out fishing along the river.
We do have a bona fide river expert in Patrick Sullivan who has been for many, many years, you know, since his childhood, has been fishing here in the Housatonic and at other rivers in the state. And he's just been sort of driving up and down the river on the weekends and kind of saying, well, this is unusual. And, of course, he's a person who really knows it's unusual because he's on the river all the time. He said he's going to go out during the weekday. I was out, I think, on a Wednesday afternoon last week at 5 o'clock, and there were so many cars parked along the Housatonic in Cornwall, which surprised me that, A, they would be there that late in the day, and that, B, they would be there on a weekday, but really unexpected large pockets. So Patrick will continue to go out and check. He said on Saturday the numbers of cars were much lower. On Sunday they were very much higher, so as the heat continues, all we can do is just, you know, hope that people will spread the word. I know that a lot of people are getting harassed if they stop and say to people, it's not a great idea for you to be doing that. Those falls are closed for a reason. They've been getting a lot of pushback. So, you know, as with wearing masks, don't put yourself in danger by trying to explain to people what might be a better protocol.
And we'll look at a tsunami of another type, and that is the bidding process and the buying process for properties in Northwest Connecticut is just simply record-breaking and astounding.
Right, and of course you can see we have a much smaller Tri-Corner News right now because there's just fewer properties, but we do still have Tri-Corner. I think it was in last
week. Well, last week we had a 16-pager, which is not small. It's large for this time of year, and so they are, whatever they did to find more properties since the month before when it was small, there was a lot in there.
A lot of beautiful ones, too, and I think a lot of people who have been sort of on the fence and thinking, like, oh, I don't know if I should sell or not, this is a moment. There's a lot of property out there. So Deb Alexinas did a story, talked to several of our major real estate agents, and the statistic that we had seen was that there was a 350% increase in sales, and I can't remember what the increase in rentals was, but it was also extremely high. And a lot of that, of course, the rentals, I think, go through Labor Day weekend for the most part, but then we have the academic year rentals, so I think it's a very healthy moving market, and people really are still continuing to come up and just sight unseen take places based on photos that they're seeing on the internet. So she's talking to the real estate agents, many of whom are exhausted because they're showing all the time, but always good, I think, to clean out the the real estate stock and bring some new people in. And of course, we've always, for the last few years, have been saying, boy, we really wish we could have, you know, some new people moving here. We want this to be a much more vital area. And boy, do we get our wish.
All right. And another big story on the front page, which we talked about earlier this week, Maria Horn. She was the lone vote that voted in favor of a little more reform over police and their immunity. She's the only one, Democrat or Republican, in our area. And in your story by Patrick Sullivan, she goes on to explain her vote.
She does. And I'd just like to say that Maria is an exceptional person and has a very wonderfully diverse legal background, where she worked for one of the big firms in New York City for many years, Debevoise and Plimpton. She went to Princeton, University of Chicago, for her law degree, and she worked for the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Southern District of New York. And, of course, that was where Preet Bharara was the prosecutor, and the famous Whitney North Seymour was the prosecutor. It's a very famous, very important prosecution office. And she really has spent a lot of time dealing with the criminal justice system and really understands it, and took a fairly courageous stand to vote unlike the rest of her peers in the legislature, which the vote's still going to go to the Senate, I think.
It passed in the Senate yesterday.
Thank you. Patrick interviewed her, and she talked a lot about the qualified immunity portion of the bill. And again, a very good explanation from her on what her thinking was.
And we're just now waiting for the governor to sign it. And all indications are, in the past, that he's going to sign it because he said he supported such a legislative issue. Always like to celebrate somebody's 100th birthday. Vivian Sullivan, nice picture of her in the family and friends section.
Right? There. Looking very healthy and happy. And thanks to Caroline Bridgefield for sending this in from Noble Horizons. And a lot more people having their 100th birthdays up here, and that's great.
I want to go over to the next page, and that is the pool at the YMCA. Everybody hopes that pretty soon the pool and other indoor facilities will be open sometime in August. We'll have to see what happens, but they're getting ready for it anyway.
Yeah, they're moving along like a fast train, and I was there last Friday and was surprised by how much construction work is going there. It's really been taken apart. They're building a new entrance into the building that keeps it separated from the gear community. And a very sort of very well thought out plan for, ingress and egress and completely cleaning out the pool, rebuilding the entranceway so that there's a different window that's protected by plexiglass where you can check in. You won't be able to use the locker rooms. You won't be able to shower. There are going to be outdoor classes, which will be fun, starting August 3rd. You can go on the Northwest YMCA website and look for the Motion Vibe link to sign up for the classes, which have limited numbers so that they can socially distance. There's going to be spinning and Zumba and Transform and all the things that people love at the Y. I don't think they're doing one-on-one training yet. And then I think August 10th they're hoping to have the indoor facilities open, including the cardio machines and the weightlifting and stuff. And everybody's going to have to do their part and clean up after themselves. But Lisa, who really is responsible for running the Canaan YMCA, has also been running the Torrington Y, and she said, people really have been stepping up and making sure that they wipe down the equipment after they use it in a really, in a meaningful way, not just giving it a quick once-over, but really cleaning it off. So we'll hope that that will happen here in Canaan.
All right, and untidy picnicking discussed by the Cornwall Selectmen.
Right, so originally it was mostly Salisbury Falls Village and Kent who were having these issues with people because they have the waterfalls. People are really attracted to these waterfalls. Cornwall is also seeing it. There's a lot of areas, including the trout management areas, where, of course, the fly fishermen are very protective of those areas, but also Mohawk Pond, which is a state boat launch, which will be getting patrolled. And, of course, Gordon Ridgway, who is the first selectman of Cornwall, had met with the selectmen and had been discussing that there had been a lot of trash left last weekend at Mohawk Pond and at other areas on the river. And he had called the DEP, and 24 hours later, the DEP and the state police said, we're going to start really monitoring these boat launch areas, which are only for launching boats and are not for picnicking, swimming, and recreation. So I don't know if it was his call that made the difference, but it did all kind of happen at once.
And a nice little story out of Falls Village where there's going to be a Wi-Fi hotspot in town.
Right, and nice to always have access in our little towns, but also a nice sort of economic development thing where it really encourages people to come to town. It's so beautiful in the center of Falls Village. Bring your laptop and your phone and take a nice walk, and you can check in and visit with your family while you do it.
Now, Cornwall has got a grant for a housing diversity study in Cornwall.
Right, as we all continue to discuss the need for affordable housing, and especially in this moment when we're seeing housing is flying out the doors, and people are able to raise their asking prices a little bit more than ever now. We're really going to need some affordable housing. So they've got a $10,000 grant to look at that.
And North Canaan, they are meeting on new ordinances, has been delayed.
Until Monday. There are several, including the blight ordinance, which is a big issue in all of our towns.
And there's the property transfers.
Yes, there they are. And so this is a companion piece, of course, to Deb Alexinas' story on A1 about the movement of property. Apparently the biggest sales have been in, or the most sales have been in Salisbury and Sharon. We do have the Mineros, a lot in Kent as well. But definitely a lot of stuff moving, and this is just the first part. They continue on into next week. We finish up Salisbury. We have North Canaan next week, and we have Falls Village.
All right, I want to move on to the opinion pages and viewpoint pages. The editorial, Welcome to Our New World, Reinventing Our Society While Avoiding Coronavirus.
Right. This is what is the background for everything we think and do now. Let's face it. It's just what is guiding our lives, and every problem is in need of a solution that is different than the way we've ever thought before. So, you know, we're looking at this especially as every single part of society is facing the challenge of reopening safely. The schools are facing this in a big way, and it is going to change day by day, depending on what happens. But we talk about the planning behind it and where we should all go according to what is happening in our area at that time.
You know, and once again, the letters to the editor also, go to speak to that issue. The USA is in trouble, American tragedy upon us now. I mean, people are genuinely concerned and hopefully trying to parse their information from legitimate places.
Right. I would say that, our letter writers do tend to do that, is get their information from legitimate news sources and make their own decisions. But we also have a lot of letters, and we have one about supporting Republicans from the Tom Morrison, chair of the Salisbury Republican Town Committee, Champions for Reproductive Justice. That's from Claire Foley in West Cornwall. We have a piece on Falls Village and affordable housing, and how the Mohawk Trail relates to the site that is being proposed. That's from Laura Warrens in Falls Village. Safety and inclusion theme of the day from Michael Clemens in Lakeville, and John Morris in Litchfield is writing about the nuclear family. So, I mean, what a range of things, and it's everything we have in front of us to worry about, and so much of it is affected by COVID-19.
And the cognitive test. I liked Peter Steiner cartoon there.
That's right. We have a cognitive test cartoon, and from Dick Ollis, we have a piece about Trump's Garden of Heroes. I'm sure we all heard about that a week or so ago, and, you know, the news cycle moves quickly, but Dick will focus on certain things and delve into them, and this one is fascinating. Tom Shachman he's writing on economic proposals, thinking about what's happening as we're going through this incredible economic upheaval due to COVID-19. And he's talking about unions and dues.
Unions and dues. It's interesting how all things local are national. And the way they relate. I want to go on to your Compass section, a little bit bigger this year, this week. And Cynthia, you have a story on a flag-themed art show right here in Sharon.
Right over at Standard Space, Adam Ekstrom was invited to curate a show. He was one of three artists that Theo Colomb, the gallery owner, had invited to curate shows this year. And Adam had picked a flag theme. Adam is one of my favorite area artists. He was down in Brooklyn with his wife, Lauren Wass, and they together are a duo called Ghost of a Dream, and they just do really thoughtful, interesting work that that's very easy to access. You can look at it and just enjoy it, and then when you kind of figure out what they're doing, it just makes it, you know, it adds interesting extra layers. So Adam did a very interesting show. You can see him in this photo with his mask on, flag-themed, and across the street at KK Kozik's Ice House, she just sent out a notice today that she's also doing a flag-themed show, and they're going to be opening, I think, next weekend. You can probably go to her Ice House Project website and get details, but it's part of a big New York show that's getting a weekend-long exhibition up here. So all flags over there in the town green. And then we've got Fred Baumgarten, who, of course, is now living up in Massachusetts, but a longtime Sharon resident and was our Nature's Notebook columnist and is still on the board of Music Mountain and sort of updating on some of the really interesting concerts there, including one that's inspired by birdsong, which is a particular interest of his. And then coming up this weekend, we've got at the Mahawi Theater a live stream of a concert with Elliot Fisk, who is one of the premier classical guitarists in America live today, with Yehudi Hanani, who is master cellist and the head of Close Encounters with music. And then Shane Stanfill, our summer intern, had written at the beginning of the summer, actually, a review of a book called The End of October about a pandemic that strikes the globe. And he talks about the ways that it is and isn't similar to what we're experiencing now. Somebody named Mary Simses is doing a book called The Wedding Thief, a Zoom talk with the House of Books in Kent. And we have the show of Chorus Line coming up in Rhinebeck at the Center for Performing Arts.
And it's also interesting, Sharon Playhouse, once again this week on the 1st, is going to present another show, a drive-in,
Berlin.
A drive-in show, space for 52 cars, but also virtually. Our good friends at the Anchorage Opera House have a free virtual schedule set up on their website. Also, the Falcon Ridge Folk Festival is starting actually today with their free virtual sit and be safe festival. And then, of course, the weekend in Norfolk, which comes up the 5th annual this weekend, that's also virtual as well. So it's amazing how very quickly and even the concerts at Norfolk, the Yale Summer School, they are putting on virtual concerts. It's amazing how everybody very, very nimbly has put together some virtual concerts to put
and
together.
And attracting a lot of attention so that Barrington Stage has got their upcoming Rodgers and Hammerstein weekend that's already sold out the first 4 days. They've added on some days to that.
And Shakespeare and Company is also showing movies. But what this does is keep these organizations in touch with their patrons. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing how very quickly they've managed to put these things together.
Well, and people are really looking for something to do while the weather is still good. And, you know, they'll do it responsibly, but, you know, it'll make a big difference if they can do something that's enjoyable. And, you know, everybody loves music and the arts around here.
And two more stories. We'll start off with you, Cynthia. Health, beware of wasps in your garden and yard.
I'm feeling very put off by how much nature there is in my backyard right now. So I've got squirrels, chipmunks, Japanese beetles, and wasps, and I'm perfectly happy to have them coexist with me, but they don't really coexist. So this is a story about wasps, which I never really thought about how dangerous they were until somebody kind of pointed it out to me a few weeks ago. Now I'm much more aware of their, you know, bees are great but dangerous. Wasps are also pollinators, and they do eat some of the other insects in your garden, which is good. But they have a lot of team spirit, and so if you mess with one hornet, it's possible that you'll get swarmed and get really badly attacked. So some different ways to manage with them. I've got a nice sort of organic-y trap that I just bought yesterday from Agway, and we'll continue to report on the success or lack of success on these efforts that I'm making. But also Patrick Sullivan was writing about a new program that's being offered by the McCall Center in Torrington, which does great work with addiction and with emotional health. And so they're offering the opportunity to talk to somebody, a health coach sort of, about the complexity of your feelings during COVID-19, which, you know, even if you don't consider yourself to be sort of anxious or depressed, it's almost impossible not to be. So here's a chance to just talk to somebody who can, you know, help you work your way through some of those feelings.
You know, and it's funny because on Facebook, and not exactly the bastion of honest to goodness stories, a lot of people are confused about the killer hornets, saying that they've seen killer hornets in this area. Folks, there are no killer hornets in this area. You'd know they're about 2.5 inches long. But it's amazing how once people read a story and they see an insect that looks something like a killer hornet, how it tends
the
to
insect
grow.
Insect grows, yeah.
It's
like
grows
a fish story.
Into the
but
killer
let's
hornet.
Say, don't get too close to those hornets to check. Like, if you're not sure, just take
if it has
the worst,
a stinger, and, stay away from it. How about?
Yeah, stay away from it. And of course, you know, when you're in your garden, if you just plunge your hand into your raspberry bushes or a bunch of lettuce or something, you know, do be aware that they're often in there. So you might want to just give everything a little brush. And my friend Dave explained to me, if you get in their flight path, they're just going to sting you just because you're there. So, you know, really kind of step back a little bit and give them a little bit of room to move.
Yeah, you know, growing up as a kid, we were always warned because I lived on a farm. White-faced hornets, they don't need any reason to be provoked.
Oh, interesting, yeah. Yeah, there's all different colors out there. They're all different sizes. So, and I guess a hornet is a big wasp. But anyway, so in our article, there, you know, we give instructions on what to do if you do get bitten and how you can brush them off and the importance of not breaking the venom sac if you get stung by a bee. So a lot of basic first aid information in there.
All right. That is This Week in the Lakeville Journal. Of course, on your newsstands, home delivery, and tricornernews.com. We'll speak to you guys next week.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
And once again, that'll wrap up our show for this morning with the Lakeville Journal. Once again, you can find them at tricornernews.com. That's tricornernews.com. And you can find this show rebroadcast on our website, which is robinhoodradio.com. Click on demand and then click on This Week in the Lakeville Journal.